Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, what is going on with the Arizona audit and the Georgia election mess? We'll give you an update, talk about the constitutionality of it. We also talk about how the media has completely reversed course on compromised elections. One of the most fun segments I've done in quite some time is we go through many of the headlines from major news institutions that said elections could be compromised to all of a sudden say that they're the most secure ever. You can find that article at charliekirk.com. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love hearing from you directly. If you want to support our program, you could do so by going to charliekirk.com/support. Marianne, thank you from Michigan for your support. Rona from Sarasota, Florida. I love that place. charliekirk.com/support. Joseph from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Thank you. Kayla from Everett, Washington. Thank you. charliekirk.com/support. You guys are allowing us to reach new heights and keep on moving the ball forward for freedom and for our country and our mission to reach millions of young people every single month. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. Get engaged and get involved with a high school or college chapter at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Also, join our anti-mandatory vaccine project at tpusa.com. What is going on with the Arizona audit, the Georgia election mess? Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? A lot. Truth is, I know millions of people. In fact, some people say over 100 million people are struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. Now, Pete and Seth Talbot, they are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384. People ask me, tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. So maybe you want to be able to do cartwheels or be able to do backflips like producer Andrew. Maybe you want to be able to run a marathon, swim underwater, go scuba diving, jump out of an airplane, but maybe it's your knee pain, back pain, joint pain, whatever pain it might be. Maybe Relief Factor is for you. ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug free. Check it out, ReliefFactor.com. We have a lot to get into. Andrew is going to be co-piloting this hour. And it's a really important topic that we want to cover. We get a lot of questions about this. What's going on with the audit? What's going on with the audit? What's going on with the audit? Well, first, I want to cover a story that happened last week, which goes to show how worried and how paranoid the federal government has become around states taking elections into their own hands. Now, isn't it interesting that the Democrats, or the people that run the federal government, they never get in the way when states relax their own voting laws. For example, when California allowed mail-in balloting, the federal government said, well, that's a states' rights issue. When Oregon went to universal mail-in balloting, they said, well, that's a states' rights issue. When Colorado went to near mail-in universal balloting, they said, well, that's a states' rights issue. When illegals now can vote in municipal elections in California, and they're trying to get that done in Vermont, they say, well, that's a states' rights issue. When all of a sudden cities like Portland and Seattle, Chicago and New York, they want to disobey federal immigration law, the federal government says, well, that's a states' rights issue. When Colorado wants to legalize marijuana or crystals or whatever kind of mushrooms, I guess, Denver wanted to do. I guess they did that recently. They say that's a states' rights issue, even though it's against federal law. You could argue that it shouldn't be, but it is. But the moment that the 48th state in the union decides to check the process of how their own elections were conducted, the federal government threatens to go full Little Rock Nine on them, threatens to go full federal force against them. Why? Politico.com last week, and we were so busy last week covering so many stories, but this just as applicable today as it was a couple days ago. Department of Justice fires warning shot against unusual post-election ballot reviews. The Justice Department new memo reminded states that allowing ballots to be mishandled can violate federal law. Now, let me stop. Nowhere does it say audits are against federal law. They're saying that if you don't do the audit correctly, it could be against federal law. This feels like federal intimidation. And you see, this is so, it's so hypocritical. It's so contradictory, but it's so typical of the Democrat Party and the American left and the collectivists, which is they're all for states' rights and the 10th Amendment if it fits their socially degenerate aims, if it fits their relaxed voting measures that they want. But the moment that a state wants to use states' rights to try to ensure election integrity, they are going to use the federal government to try to intimidate them and intervene at any means possible. I'm reading from Josh Gernstein and Zach Montarello's article. The Justice Department on Wednesday issued another warning aimed at states conducting or considering audits of ballots tallied in last year's election, reminding election authorities that allowing ballots to be mishandled can violate federal law. While the Biden administration's guidance document carries no formal legal weight and may not strike fear into local officials, the Justice Department used the release of the legal analysis to press their campaign of saber-rattling against Republican-led audits of the 2020 vote in Arizona and other states, as well as voting changes many Republican states are pursuing as part of anti-fraud efforts. It's part of a 7-page review, and it says this. This document puts down a marker that says the Justice Department is concerned about this. Now, wait a second. The Justice Department is concerned about the handling of ballots? Is the Justice Department concerned that there were 72,000 more mail-in ballots that were sent into Arizona than were actually sent out? If they're upset about the handling of ballots, are they concerned about the alleged and evident and very seems to be very clear multiple ballots being run through machines in Georgia? Are they concerned about all of a sudden someone finding a box of ballots underneath a table in Mercedes-Benz Arena in downtown Atlanta? Are they worried about ballots being mishandled by the Postal Service, which thanks to Project Veritas and James O'Keefe, we know that? Are they worried about the whistleblower that came forward that just suddenly disappeared, according to local Milwaukee news, where there were people going to old people's homes against their will and filling out ballots for Joe Biden? Are they worried about ballot misuse or ballot malfeasance of the Nevada Native Vote Project that illegally traded goods and services and cash for filled out ballots for Joe Biden? These are things that we just know, by the way, and we're hardly a criminal investigative unit here. These are just things that we see on social media. Election audits are exceedingly rare, the Justice Department says, and they're concerned that some jurisdictions conducting them may be using or proposing to use procedures that risk violating the Civil Rights Act. Bunch of garbage. They're not common enough. We should be auditing every single election, every single year. A nonprofit of scalable size, such as Turning Point USA or a church, goes through an audit where you bring in an accounting firm and they go and give you a clean bill of financial or fiscal health. It's very normal. Why don't we audit all of our elections, especially when voting poll places are changing, when you have many issues with ballot custody, mail-in ballot malfeasance? Why is it that the federal government and Joe Biden are now sending in the federales to interrupt what the states are allowed to do constitutionally? So let me just read this one part of the Constitution. It's incredibly important. Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1. The time, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. But the Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations except as to the places or choosing of senators. They have plenary powers, everybody. They have exclusive powers. And understand, Arizona is not just auditing the federal election. Arizona is not just auditing the congressional election. Arizona is auditing the mayor elections. They're auditing the state representative elections. The federal government has no jurisdiction over any of that, except if the federal government thinks that a ballot that was involved in a federal election was issued fraudulently or against the law in the state. So why is it that all of a sudden, according to Politico.com, they are marching in? The DOJ says we cannot comment on any investigation that might be going on. They say, quote, we didn't want any sort of jurisdictions or jurisdictions think that we should have some safe harbor to say because we ran our voting system this way before the pandemic, we're able to go back to that way, racially discriminatory policy. The Justice Department suit against Georgia, and we'll get into Georgia in a second because we're doing a comprehensive audit here. And again, I want to just reemphasize this point. This is not just about federal elections. This is about state elections as well. This is not just about Trump. It's about the entire process that you give power for people to be able to govern our society. That's a big deal. So the federal government, they wanted to audit the 2016 election, not this way, but remember when you had article after article after article after article that said be aware of hacked machines, how to hack an election in 7 minutes or less? That's Politico's own article. Yet when they get a political outcome they like, all of a sudden they don't want to do audits any longer. Here's a rational case for why these audits have to continue. Here's a reasonable case. And let me be very clear. Any conservative that does not mention election integrity regularly is avoiding one of the biggest issues that has happened in our country, and they are seeking convenience and comfort. They are seeking corporate approval than the truth. Election integrity is the biggest issue when it comes to actually the process of allocating political power in this country. Here's the rational case. In Georgia, in 2016, we'll get the exact numbers in the next segment, they had approximately 238,000 mail-in ballots with very strict signature requirements. In 2020, they had well over 1.2 million mail-in ballots with relaxed signature requirements due to a consent decree that was signed with Brian Kemp without anyone knowing. We know that multiple ballots were run through the machines in Georgia. And now the federal government is getting very worried. The pronouncement says, where election records leave control of election officials, the systems for maintaining the security, integrity, and chain of custody of those records can easily be broken. They're just making that up. What they're really doing is the DOJ is threatening criminal action. If you look too far into what happened in the 2020 election, which is exactly why the audits must continue. Did you ever read the fine print that appears when you start browsing in incognito mode? It says that your activity might be visible to your employer, your school, or your internet service provider. How can they even call it incognito? To really stop seeing people from seeing the sites you visit, you need to do what I do and use ExpressVPN. Think about all the times you've used Wi-Fi at a coffee shop, a hotel, or even at your parents' house. Without ExpressVPN, every site you visit could be logged by the admin of that network. And that's still true when you're in incognito mode. ExpressVPN is an app that encrypts all of your network's data and reroutes it through a network of secure servers. Your private online activity stays just that, private. ExpressVPN works on all your devices and is super easy to use. The app literally has one button. You tap it and connect, and your browsing activity is secure from prying eyes. So stop letting strangers invade your privacy online. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/charlie. Use my link at expressvpn.com/charlie to get 3 extra months free. That's expressvpn.com/charlie to learn more. I just want to recap what we already know from the Arizona audit. According to Senator Warren Peterson, in just one Senate testimony that we did stream live, and we're going to stream more of them, we know that thousands of duplicate ballots without serial numbers were sent in with the wrong ballot boxes. We know that Maricopa County was supposed to use vote secure paper that should not bleed through, but instead the ballots show that there was bleed through, which could we don't know if it did, cancel the ballots. There were 3,981 votes that were registered to vote in violation of an Arizona Supreme Court ruling issued prior to the election. We know that 11,326 votes were counted, even though these voters were not on the voter rolls on November 7th. Interestingly, that's almost exactly the margin of what Joe Biden was declared the winner by. Interestingly, almost to the number. We know that according to the Arizona audit, over 74,000 votes, more mail-in ballots were received and counted than were mailed out. And we know that based on system forensics, there is no way the county can certify this election to be safe. Now, that word safe is rather arbitrary and subjective, but that's just what we know so far. So, Andrew, what is the latest with this kind of struggle of subpoenas? What is going on here as we give our listeners an Arizona election audit update?
Well, the main update is that there's been this drama around routers, and there's been a drama obviously around the Dominion voting machines, which you really frankly don't even need to go into. They've asked for the data from the voting machines. They've asked for the data from the routers. They've subpoenaed both, and both are being denied. They're being flouted, so they're not complying, which is kind of shocking, actually. I mean, this headline out of Breitbart, I think, says it best. Arizona Republican state legislatures push back against defiant Maricopa County's refusal to cooperate with subpoenas. Now, you know, you and I were discussing this in the break. It's like, you know, a lot of people might assume that Maricopa County, the county board of supervisors, is a Democratic board. Actually, it's Republican 4-1. Mm-hmm. But if you know anything about Republican politics in the state of Arizona, you've still got a lot of carryover of these like flake Republicans, these McCain Republicans. Anyways, it's the board of supervisors, Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, is not complying with the subpoenas for the routers. Now, their excuse is that they say that we've complied, we've given you everything that you need to conduct your phony audit or whatever, and that this is somehow really important to the functioning of the state and of the county, and you can't have the routers, right? Now, the auditors are saying that there is a massive amount of data that will be contained on those routers. We need them to conduct the audit. They probably are going to slow walk this until the report comes out, is what I'm hearing, though.
And so State Senator Borelli is asking Attorney General Brnovich, who is running for the U.S. Senate. This would be a way for him to get some points on the board in the U.S. Senate race, to be perfectly honest.
Yep, correct.
To punish the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors for refusing to turn over these routers. Now, we don't know what this, you know, what's behind the routers, but what I will do in the next segment, and Andrew sent this morning in our show prep, and it's so amazing. And all of you, we are going to post this article on charliekirk.com. Every time the mainstream media told us elections could be hacked, we're going to go through all of the articles. And I'm not talking about some fringe blog. I'm talking about Politico. I'm talking about The Guardian. And it was how elections are not secure. And then we go from that to all of a sudden being told that it's the most secure election in American history. Now, I also want to say this, though, is that certain states have more secure elections than others. I do trust the way that Iowa does their elections. If you go through Iowa, they do not have no excuse mail-in balloting. They require voter ID and signature verification when you send in ballots. They purge their voter rolls. The same in Florida. So not every single state is equally, you know, complicit with this or corrupt. So the Attorney General's office, run by Mark Brnovich, has 30 days to issue a finding about whether the county violated state law. They're saying, we don't want to give you the servers. We don't want to give you these. And I just want to give a short shout out for those of you listening on our podcast. I want to give a shout out for all of you that have kept the pressure on this issue. Thank you. Now, we are a listener-supported show. We are a listener-focused show. The more questions that we get when you email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, the more that you want us to focus on these issues, it doesn't just help us. It helps the state legislatures. It helps the state representatives. It helps the state senators. Stay on it. I often talk about the crushing debt and lack of jobs that come with the broken college system in our country and how entering a trade or vocational school can provide great career opportunities where you are and skills will always be in demand. I want to talk to you about a friend of mine, a great American, who runs an organization called the American Institute of Non-Destructive Testing. Maybe you're looking for a career. Maybe you just graduated high school. Maybe you are not really sure what you want to do with your life. Well, the American Institute of Non-Destructive Testing is a place where you can get a skill in 6 months, and 93% of the people that go through this training get jobs with wages of $50,000 and can earn to $70,000 or $80,000 a year. And you might say, what is it? Well, it's trainingndt.com. That's trainingndt.com to learn how you can have an opportunity to work in industries such as aerospace, oil, gas, nuclear, and alternative energy as a technician performing critical inspections that make our world a safer place. So non-destructive testing is where you are inspecting America's critical infrastructure. Let me tell you why this is important. It's recession-proof. Even if the economy goes down, things we already have need to get inspected. Critical infrastructure needs to be looked at. Rocket ships need to be looked at. Nuclear plants need to be looked at. And guess what? The people going into non-destructive testing needs to go up because so many people are retiring. There's a huge opportunity out there for you. Their program consists of 6 months online education, followed by 3 weeks at the American Institute campus using state-of-the-art inspection equipment such as ultrasonics, capturing x-rays, and producing magnetic fields to inspect critical components to ensure their safety and reliability. I want you to know that Don Booth, the CEO, is a patriot, and his whole team cares about the future of every single graduate. So if you guys are looking for a job, looking for a career, looking for the next thing to do in life, or maybe you're 40 or 50 years old, you're like, man, I want a fresh start. Go to trainingndt.com and learn about this exciting and rewarding career. We here on The Charlie Kirk Show want to give the muscular class a voice. 93% job placement. It's pretty amazing. No college can tell you that. 93% job placement working with your hands, maybe in aerospace, oil, gas, nuclear, or alternative energy. Go to trainingndt.com and learn about this exciting and rewarding career. CBSNews.com, 2020, most secure election in history. AP News, repudiating Trump, elections say, officials say it is most secure. They all got the talking points, didn't they? But interestingly, the media went rather deep into trying to sow discord into this. Idea, Politico from 2016. How to hack an election in 7 minutes. With Russia already meddling in 2016, a ragtag group of obsessive tech experts is warning that stealing the ultimate prize would be child's play. Politico.com. By the way, we're going to write all of these. We're going to consolidate them all with links at charliekirk.com. If you guys want to send it to your friends, it'll blow you away. It'll be the front page of charliekirk.com. How about this one? Recounts or no, U.S. elections are still vulnerable to hacking, December 26, 2016. CBS. Hacker demonstrates how voting machines can be compromised, August 2016. Fox, Princeton professor demonstrates how hacking a voting machine, September 18, 2016. Politico, will Georgia's special election get hacked, June 14, 2017. CNET, DEFCON hackers find it very easy to break voting machines, July 30, 2017. CNN, we watched hackers break into voting machines, August 11, 2017. Slate, America's voting systems are highly vulnerable to hackers, February 22nd, 2018. New York Times, I hacked an election, so can the Russians, April 5th, 2018. Axios, there can be more than one way to hack an election, July 3rd, 2018. Newsweek, election hacking, voting machine supplier admits used hackable software, July 17th, 2018. Voting machine hacks at DEFCON, 11-year-old hacks Florida voting machine. Guardian, why U.S. elections remain dangerously vulnerable to cyber attacks. Huh. CBS, why voting machines in the U.S. are easy targets for hackers. Jenny Cohn, the genesis of America's corrupted computerized election system. New York Times, America's election could be hacked. Go vote anyway. Scientific American, the vulnerabilities of our voting machines. GQ, how to hack an election. New York Times Books, voting machines, what could possibly go wrong? Salon, Philly ignores cybersecurity and disability access in voting system selection. Politico, state election officials opt for 2020 voting machines vulnerable for hacking. TechCrunch. Senators demand to know why election vendors still sell voting machines with known vulnerabilities. Salon. New hybrid voting system can change paper ballot after it's been cast. You hear that? Salon says that there could be a new machine that changes a paper ballot after it's been cast. I never knew that Salon was so racist. And they never get called out for any of this crap. And I don't use that word lightly. AP, new election systems use vulnerable software, July 13, 2019. Vice, critical U.S. elect systems elections have been left exposed online despite official denials. CNN, watch this hacker break into a voting machine, August 10, 2019. This is right before the election. Washington Post, hackers were told to break into U.S. voting machines. They didn't have much trouble, August 12, 2019. MIT Tech Review, 16 million Americans will vote on hackable paperless machines. I want to say that again. MIT Review, 16 million Americans will vote on hackable paperless machines. Huh. Salon, hackers can easily break into voting machines across the United States, August 14, 2019. Why are these people hate democracy so much? Why do they hate people of color? Fox, election machine keys are on the internet, hackers say. NPR, cyber experts warn of vulnerabilities facing the 2020 election. Jenny Cohn, again, Americans' election voting system is corrupted to the core. Well, I'm glad she doesn't engage in hyperbole. Jeez. You hear that? Corrupted to the core. Jenny Cohn, writing for Medium. Washington Post. Hear that? Washington Post. U.S. voting machines vulnerable to hacks in 2020, researchers find. The Hill. Voting machines pose a greater threat to our elections than foreign agents. Huh. That's thehill.com. Let me read that again. That's an interesting one to pull up. By the way, this whole list that I'm reading here will be available on charliekirk.com. And if you want to subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, and it's from some Telegram feed. It's Kane Koa the Great, who consolidated this. Honestly, great work consolidating this together. TheHill.com. I'm going to read this again. Voting machines pose a greater threat to our elections than foreign agents. Huh. Rolling Stone. John Oliver breaks down the faulty election machine security on Last Week Tonight, November 4th, 2019. Bloomberg. Expensive glitchy voting machines expose 2020 hacking risks. They were all in on this until they decided they could send in a bunch of mail-in ballots. And all of a sudden, it's the most secure election in American history. And if you disagree with us, you're Nathan Bedford Forrest. Washington Post. Voting machines touted as secure option are actually vulnerable to hacking, study finds. NBC. Online and vulnerable. Experts find nearly 36 U.S. voting systems connected to the internet. Let me say that again. NBC. Online and vulnerable. Experts find nearly 36 of the U.S. voting systems connected to the internet. AP, reliability of pricey new voting machines questioned. The Guardian, hack the vote. Terrifying new film shows how vulnerable U.S. elections are. March 2020. Or how about the Atlanta Journal-Constitution? In high-stakes election, the Georgia voting system vulnerable to cyber attack. Of course, you're not allowed to say any of this. And you're not allowed to mention any of their old articles. There's something happening, maybe there isn't, where the media is covering all this up. Andrew, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I've been looking over Merrick Garland and the DOJ's lawsuit that they've filed against the state of Georgia for their election integrity bills that they were passed and that Governor Kemp signed into law. And I just want to make one small observation. The writing is terrible. It's just – these are poorly written articles. This is the paper of record in the state of Georgia, by the way. This is not some podunk newspaper, but it's just it's bad. It's poorly cited. They don't actually reference a lot of things that they – in detail. They sort of brush over a lot of the details. Anyways, it's sort of an aside, but nevertheless, it's fairly embarrassing for them. So my thoughts – are that these Democrats in the media, these activist journalists, were actually betting on the fact that Donald Trump was going to win the election in 2020. So what they were doing is they were building a case that they could look back and say, see, we got hacked again. We got hacked again. First, it was the Russians in 2016 and Russia, Russia, Russia. And guess what? We got hacked again. Look at how susceptible and how, you know, they were very excited to basically say the institutions of America are falling apart and it's all awful when they thought their guy was going to lose. And then what happened? COVID, Dropboxes, Zuckerbucks. We've got mail invalidating, and we've got governors and other elected officials going against their own state constitutions to change the laws under the cover of darkness. That's what we have. And so everything flipped. They won, you know, in air quotes, no offense. And now they don't want to, they want to bury these articles. I'm surprised that most of them are still clickable. Like, you can actually go look at them. Some of them have been archived, but nevertheless.
And so the head of the Arizona Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, Jack Sellers, very arrogant and condescending person, quite honestly. Dear senators, it is now August of 2021. The election of November 2020 is over. If you haven't figured it out yet, the election of Maricopa County was free and fair and accurate, yet I'm not sure you ever will. The reason you haven't finished your audit is because you hired people who have no experience and little understanding of how professional elections are run. Hold on, Jack Sellers. Taking 2 weeks to count ballots, changing voting locations, and 72,000 more mail-in ballots received than sent out is how professional elections are run in Nicaragua, okay? That's how they run them in the third world. When you have, like, provisional governments after the CIA topples a dictator, that's how you run elections. The board has real work to do and little time to entertain this adventure in Never Never Land. Please finish whatever it is you are doing and release whatever it is you're going to release. Oh, you mean there might be something to release? I'm confident that our staff and volunteers ran the election as prescribed by federal and state law. There was no fraud. There wasn't an injection of ballots from Asia, nor was there a satellite that beamed votes into our election equipment. It's time for all elected officials to tell the truth and stop encouraging conspiracies. Release your report and time to move on. Well, Jack Sellers, why is it that then you then refuse to hand over the routers? If it was so clean, show us how clean it was. You know, when you win a championship, sports championship, you sometimes, if you did it right, you want to have all the footage you possibly can shown to the world. You want to show the world how great you were. You want to show the celebration. You want to show how phenomenal it was. But if there was something wrong, a call that was missed, someone that cheated, a holding call that wasn't done in football, maybe you wouldn't show that footage over and over and over again. You see, Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, they are like the umpires or the people at Major League Baseball that covered for the Houston Astros for years. Now, producer Andrew's a big Dodgers fan. Now, this is back when I watched baseball before it became an anti-American enterprise, like far too many things in our country. And I know Andrew is Andrew's a red, okay? He very well might be a Bolshevik. We're still investigating it. Sympathetic to Trotsky and Lenin. Possibly Gramsci.
It's an addiction. I'm working on it.
Yep, he can't.
Charlie judges me severely for still doing this. Yeah, it's become a source of conflict.
Next thing you know, all of a sudden he's going to be marching in BLM parades. Baseball today, BLM tomorrow, right? So back when I watched baseball, I actually went to this World Series game, Game 6, at Dodger Stadium. You might have been there, Andrew. And it was the Astros versus the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I think, won this game because it went to Game 7, and the Astros then won, and they cheated.
I was not at that game.
And so, but what was the depth of the cheating? What was the significance of it? Because that was a close series, right? That went all the way to Game 7, and eventually you guys kind of won half a championship last year in the midst of COVID when no one really cared. But the real championship was stolen from you. And
World
I say
chance,
that
baby.
As a Dodger critic. Why is the Maricopa County acting like Major League Baseball covering up for the sign-stealing Houston Astros? What's going on here? So instead, the LA Dodgers had to settle with a half victory during COVID, and there will always be that asterisk. There will always be that little asterisk. Not a
There's
full
no
season,
asterisks.
No fans,
There's no asterisks.
Lower ratings, less pressure, you know, not a real season.
You're crazy.
You see what we're doing here?
It was
we
more
are triggering
difficult. Andrew. They had to compete in a shortened season, a longer playoffs, by the way, even a longer playoffs, and they had to compete in the same situation that everybody else was competing. So, they were still the best of everybody that they had to compete against. I disagree with your – and by the way, who has to live in like a bubble and win a championship when they're living in a bubble? This is crazy. I don't want to hear it.
So in between watching your BLM baseball –
fake news.
Can you at least walk us through the – like how bad was the cheating by the Houston Astros? I use this analogy intentionally.
Quickly. Well, I mean it was – well, right now, just quickly, the Dodgers are playing the Houston Astros right now at Dodger Stadium. Apparently, people were throwing, you know, trash cans out into the field as a protest. I mean, I don't think they're ever going to get over it because it was such a it's such a scar against baseball itself. But what happened in 2017, and I think in maybe years prior to that, is they were placing video cameras out in center field, and they were picking up signs, and then they were banging on a trash can to signal to their player, to their batter, what pitch was going to come. And so, you know, there was a lot of research was done on this, and they would, you know, baseball's a game of stats. They were breaking it down. The away batting averages versus the home batting averages were incredible. I mean, the splits were way outside the norm of what you would typically see with normal baseball players, and that's because they were cheating, and it was bad. And the sad part is, all those players should have been, you know, banned from baseball. It should have been like no cheating allowed. And what they did is they should have stripped the title. What they did is they slapped them on the wrist. You know, who knows how far it went. There was some other cheating going on in Boston and other places too. So it was getting pretty widespread.
Well, and the point is that eventually it came out. Years later, it came out. And they realized that it was not conducted properly, and that cheating was.
It needed a whistleblower.
That's right. It took a whistleblower. So now, really quick, give our listeners an update: the Georgia lawsuit, DOJ, and then finally, I'm going to tell people what to expect with the Arizona audit.
All right. So, in a nutshell, I'm going to make this really quick. Is Merrick Garland, who I believe is a total snake in the grass, by the way. He looks nice. He sounds nice. He is radical, man. This guy is a place there, and I think he has a vengeance campaign. Anyways, he is suing the state of Georgia, and he basically is threatening any state that tries to get election integrity as a priority is going to be sued by this DOJ. He's saying that it violates Section 2 of the Voter Rights Act. Okay, so Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, which was passed in the 60s, is the section that prohibits voting practices or procedures that discriminate on the basis of race, color, or membership in one of the language minority groups, okay? So you have people like Sheila Lee Jackson, Sheila Jackson Lee, which is a Democrat from Texas, saying, this is from The Hill, Georgia election law prevents African American, Latinx, and others from exercising the right to vote. So the question is, what did the law that Brian Kemp signed into law, what did it actually do? It curtailed ballot drop boxes. It imposed stricter ID requirements. It shortens absentee ballot request deadlines. And it prohibits from handing out food and water to voters in line, right? So anywhere in there where it says that it restricts people of color from voting, that's what they're hanging their whole hat on this. Because as you just described earlier, the Constitution expressly gives the states rights to determine their own election laws. But the federal mandate from the 1965 Voting Rights Act says, well, you can't discriminate against people of color, right? And so this is what Biden's whole strategy was. He said, Jim Crow 2.0. That was the whole kicker. And Merrick Garland is seizing on that.
Arizona audit results will be released soon. They are nervous. There's going to be something significant that comes out. And even the teaser by Senator Peterson was very significant. And our Department of Justice isn't going to do anything. I really hope the Arizona Attorney General, Mark Brnovich, who I'm meeting with soon, is going to take this case up. I really do, because there is something really wrong that happened here. We need the routers, we need the servers, and we need to get to the bottom of it. And we have our eyes here on the Arizona audit here in Phoenix, Arizona, and we're going to keep on covering it. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.